Welcome to the Evolution Exchange Nordic podcast. We're bringing together the best technical leaders from across the Nordics to discuss industry passions, challenges, and ideas. I'm Charlotte Roberts, and I help businesses thrive by connecting with top data freelance talent. And today, I'm your host. So firstly, I'd like to say a big thank you for everybody joining us today. Of course, we have Henrik, we have Jacob, and we have Mohammed Reza, and we're going to be discussing building a data culture for success. So before we go ahead and jump into the questions, it'd be nice if everybody could give a quick introduction to themselves. So with Henrik, if you'd like to introduce yourself first, that'd be great.
Yeah, so my name is Henrik Forsberg. I'm head of data and analytics at Tele2. I run a centralized team of around 70 resources, and we support the entire Swedish operations with everything related to data analytics and AI. So we basically build and operate several data platforms and of course, traditional business intelligence as well, but also operational solutions for our network operations.
Nice. Thank you very much for that introduction, Henrik. Jacob, if you'd like to introduce yourself, that'd be great.
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Jacob Tredo-Sandborg. I am the manager for data analytics within ICA Banken, and I'm currently leading four teams covering both the data platform on the cloud and also our traditional on-prem data warehouse and one BI reporting team and a data governance. So the entire data perspective.
Nice. Thank you very much, Jacob, for that introduction. And Mohammed Reza, if you'd like to introduce yourself, that'd be lovely.
Yes. Hello, everyone on the panel, and of course, to our awesome listeners. I'm Mohammed Reza. My background is spanning both engineering and business side of the data science. My data journey starts in 2015 while working in a bank, you know, as the founder of the cross-functional data mining committee. And I spend my spare time, you know, in educational systems teaching ML and AI to students. Currently, I'm leading the data product team for the digital experience domain at Electrolux. In this role, my primary focus is developing a consumer-facing data and AI products tailored to our huge user base in the connected appliances, as well as leading the development of a self-serve data platform, nudging the data culture within my organization. And thanks for having me here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you as well. So thank you very much, everybody, for your introductions.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris Bennett here, the Nordics Managing Director here at Evolution. We're committed to doing recruitment in a different way that adds value to both our clients and candidates by providing you with amazing speakers and leading edge discussions on what's going on in the tech scene at the moment. There are three reasons why you should contact me. If you would like to speak on a future podcast, if you are interested in hiring awesome tech, data, product or gaming freelancers for your business, or if you are looking for an exciting new organization to work with, please get in touch. Thank you so much for listening, and I really hope to hear from you soon. Please enjoy the rest of the podcast.
We'll jump straight now into the first question, which is from Mohammed Reza. So how to take the first steps and nudge your team or organization to be more data driven? So Mohammed Reza, if you'd like to give a little bit of background behind the question, and then I'll let everybody sort of jump in and discuss.
Yes, perfect. Thank you so much. The reason that I'm asking this is that I think there is no unique recipe for organizations as they are in different maturity level. We all know that the data culture is a kind of prerequisite of being in a data-driven state, and it needs to be very well massaged, you know, and crafted in a good way. So I would like just to hear what's your take in this topic. Before passing over, I just want to just have a little bit of talk about my own experience, you know, with this respect. I crafted a kind of my own framework for data mature inspired by the three P's, people, process, and product, which I call technology, and combined it with a kind of Venn diagram for better visual clarity, and came up with a kind of, you know, my own data culture manifesto. In this context, I consider the product and technology interchangeably, you know, as technology should be treated like a product with a product mindset, like, you know, always evolving, always improving, you know, to meet the various needs. It's not a one-off project. So I would say that there are three main ingredients for this successful data culture framework. In short, people, process, and technology, you know, or product. You know, people, we know that it refers to the employees at all levels, executives, to the developers, you know, developing data literate workforce, where employees possess skills, you know, and mindset and knowledge to work with data effectively and efficiently. And the process, it involves, you know, incorporating data into decision making at various levels. Well-defined and efficient data processing ensures that we have a high quality data and compliant data is managed and democratized effectively. We have a good process around that. And insights are delivered by our teams and utilize in a consistent and systematic manner. And technology, you know, refers to the tooling infrastructure that enables, you know, proper data collection, analysis, you know, storage and serving, you know, or let's say the providing proper capabilities for the whole data, our data culture. But I have an experience here and I would like just to discuss it with you guys and get your opinion. Based on my experience, organizations tend to focus only on one, on two areas, you know, at a time, not three piece, you know. Based on the, you know, Venn diagram, there are three circles, you know, overlapping each other. And if you consider three circles that the people, process, and technology, you know, they usually focus on two, you know, it means that they're missing the other one. But as I have been in different industries, I have seen that if you focus, let's say, if you focus on two piece, you know, you will get some gains, but you will lose something. And let's go through that. You know, like, you know, if your company plans to around the people and process for a better data culture, then you gains, your gains are like, you know, people are upskilled, trained, and data literate. And there are established processes about incorporating data by those employees into decision-making ceremonies, like, you know, how they know how to embed the data into processes in data-driven OKRs, QBRs, product discovery sessions. You know, they know how to work with the data and they know the process. But there is a pitfall, you know, because they neglect it or skip the other P, which we call them product equal technology in this context. And that is limited data driven integration between silos of data. And this may result in manual and time consuming data workflows, you know, and leading to inefficiency, you know, errors and this sort of stuff. And the other case, we have seen, you know, that some companies focus on people and technology. It means that, okay, you have a great technology stack, like a data platform that ensures employees have the necessary access to the data set and tools, while also you're ensuring, okay, you have a good security and compliance in place as well. But also, you know, there are data empowered champions because you work on the people as well, you know, who have the technical knowledge to do the data analysis. But at the same time, you're skipping the other P, which is the process here. And it means, okay, there are some consequences, like keeping the process results in siloed decision making, you know, with teams or domains, you know, so there is no cross-functional processes across all. And it means there are some limited information for analysis. There are some personal biases, for example, by some of the domains or subdomains. And last but not least, if your organization focused on process and the product equal technology, then your organization gains a great competitive advantage in the data governance processes. And that is good to ensure data quality, you know, integrity and security. And you have a good tooling and a proper, let's say, mindset. If you have a proper process mindset people, then you can implement a good workflow to enable seamless integration and automation of the data workflows, you know, reducing manual work, you know, and that is good, but you're missing the most important part, which is the people. And it means that we have a lack of data advocacy, communication gaps between teams, you know, and unready workforce that result of that. So I would like just to hear from you guys, you know, what do you think around this, or in general, what do you think about how we can actually have a better, or let's say, more data-driven organization?
I think this is an interesting approach. I mean, people, processes, and technology has been around for a while, and I use it quite often, to be honest, especially when these challenges that you're addressing are to be lifted and discussed with executives, because I think It's quite common that, as you said, you have the technology in place, for instance, or the processes or the people. And from a management perspective, I can see a lot of cases where executives think that, okay, we're doing data now because we have a box somewhere in the org chart saying that someone is working with data, so good, we are covered. But the fact is, it's more complicated than that. So very interesting. And I think you really need to balance those three. And you said in the beginning also that it depends on the maturity of the organization. I think it also depends on the willingness to do change. Because if everything is supposed to work as it works today, maybe you don't get that much value out of it in the end. Then you have just added the data component to the organization and the company. And in the end, everything will work exactly the same as today, which is, of course, no one's intention.
I agree. I also think that it's a very interesting perspective to add the three different P's or changing product to technology. One thing that I would like to add is the value of having a very clear understanding of what is the organization's ambition. So how ambitious are you as an organization when it comes to embedding the data culture or to embedding the data-driven culture into your organization? Because it's one thing to say from a leadership perspective to say that, yes, our organization should be data-driven. It's a completely different thing to really embed that into the organization and to say that all different teams or departments should be truly data-driven and using data as their main point of doing decisions. So I think that it's very important, especially when you on your topic here, to see how you can nudge the teams or how you can nudge the organization to become more data-driven. It's very important that you are clear on the organizational ambition and then to find some really narrow use case to start from a small use case to build a momentum or to build some sort of to showcase value and to showcase some positive results from shifting, because this, as you said, Henrik, this is really a change process to go from a mindset of either looking at the dashboard and doing a decision to really become truly data driven where we have data as the main asset in a company. And that's the main driver for us in doing decisions or creating value. There is a huge transition for the organization as a whole. So I think there are a lot of different perspectives here that we need to be cautious of. And also, it's very important that we have alignment on the ambition and also alignment with the top management in this, since it's a cultural change.
Exactly. I really like the comments, and I would emphasize, and showing the results, even though that they are small, just to get a buy-in from the management, and then you can gradually, expand, and extend your data initiatives, whether it's a technology or people or even the process, and that's super needed, and we do need a proper management support. Great.
Yeah, I think I can add to it. I mean, being data-driven means a lot of different things to people today. I mean, in some cases, in some organizations, or for some individuals, it means that, okay, I can make data-driven decisions. Someone will support me. I don't need to crunch data in Excel every day. I will actually have something to look at that is trustful. But for some organizations, it means that we create a data-driven customer experience and that we're actually driving sales forward, in which means that you need to be embedded in sales operations and the entire customer journey. That's a completely different thing. It's a completely from a technology perspective, but from a process perspective as well. And you need to have the competence in the organization to understand that it can be done and how to do it. And that's a tricky thing. But I really agree also, as you said, Jacob, I mean, start small. I also see the value of having at least one idea of a vision, what to achieve, because there are tons of things to do. I mean, modern companies today, they don't do anything else than data. Everything is around data. They really don't have the legacy issues as some of us, but I think you still need to know in which direction to move and what kind of challenges are you trying to solve.
I agree, and also understanding how big the shift is depending on your ambition or depending on what you're trying to resolve. Because as you said, Henrik, if you try to resolve building a user-friendly or user-driven journey, a data-driven user journey, then that is a completely different thing than building a dashboard and presenting a report for someone. There's a much higher complexity in building a data-driven customer journey, and it's important that you have the understanding of what different shifts or changes are you imposing on the organization so that you really choose wisely the direction that you take.
Exactly, and I would say everything, you know, out of these three pieces, everything starts with the people, you know, and behavior and mindset, you know. This is because it's not only related to the technology, and it is kind of enabler, you know, and we need to focus on the people first, you know, and the mindset, you know, and then at the same time, I would say, you know, we need to always consider the process and the technology as a product as well. Thank you so much for your input.
I'm still willing to add something to this as well.
Yeah. Please,
the technology part, for some people not working in this domain, technology seems to be like a mystery. But for the ones of us who's been around for a while, we have learned that technology is shifting constantly. Every 2 or 3 years, there's something that is mature enough to jump on and actually work with. And we know this, because, and that means that we sort of have built in this change in the technology stack. And it is that it's still cumbersome to move from something to something new. But we know how to do that. And maybe we don't get too stuck thinking that this time it's going to be the final software that we work with. So I think we've matured a lot the past 10, 15 years or so, and realized that there is not any kind of end station for technology. It's just going to move on. And I need to have an organization that can deal with that. But processes and people, that is still a challenging thing to deal with.
Yes, exactly. So my last comment here is that I would say that our data culture is a foundation or make your organization as a kind of platform, you know. So because the technology can come in and go out, you know, easily, you know, you can actually come and have a contract with different vendors, you know, and they obsolete and you just change and evolve over time. And if you see that we have an organization and data culture is a platform, you know, and on the platform, we can build many things with the help of process and the people, and of course, utilization of the technology. And that's why we do need a proper data culture. And that means that, okay, we need to talk more about that. We need to put it in practice, even though it's a kind of a small and very tiny practices that leads to a value, you know, and we need to just shout it, you know, and say, okay, this is the value and we need to work more on that. Great, thank you so much. It was amazing.
Nice. Well, we'll move on now then to Jacob's question, the second question. So Jacob, your question is, what can you do as a leader of a data team do to ensure that your data culture is creating value?
Yeah, sure. I can give you some background to this question. And as we discussed earlier, I think that a lot of things here depends on your ambition and what you're aiming for to really create in the end. But we as an organization and many others have really put out an ambition to become a truly data-driven company and a customer-centric company. And we, as many others, also start out that let's build a data warehouse, let's bring reports to senior leadership or to managers in order for them to get a better understanding of how the organization is performing and how we're performing output. And then the question then becomes, how do we then transform or convert this into really driving value? Because there are a lot of different ways to go from showcasing how a report is founded or how the data is preserved, and then to go to how can we really start ensuring that we have a culture that brings value back to the organization. Because there is, of course, value in showcasing the results from a report, showcasing the truth of data and to have one single point of truth when it comes to the data. But in order for us to really bring value back to the organization in the case of either sales or cost reductions, we really need to do something else. And I would love to hear your input on how you work by doing this transition from the more traditional reporting space into a more value-driven approach into working with data.
I can start because we've been into transformation the past roughly 5 years. When I joined Tele2, we had a lot of legacy, some 20, 25 different applications, some data warehouses and some front-end tools, BI reporting tools. We were spending a lot, and the value coming out of it could definitely be questioned. And we were extremely slow in deliveries as well, with a lot of dependencies everywhere. So we decided to do something else, switch out the technology, consolidate the platforms, and we reorganized a bit as well. And over time, I think we have changed maybe 80% of the resources because we had to have new skill sets on board. And that journey started off really, really well. The entire journey has been working extremely well. The business case was basically to do some cost savings just for running data for the company. And we managed to deliver more savings, but we kept some of that money internally to invest in new areas. So we added an application for a customer data platform. We invested in a team dealing with AI, for instance. And we delivered small use cases constantly, made sure that we sort of saved the money we promised, and used those small use cases to inspire the conversation in the company. And basically, we were in a bad position that the people didn't have any high thoughts around data at all. And we managed to switch that around to actually become the center of excellence and the go-to organization in all data-related questions. It's not that we can answer everything or that we're delivering on all the kind of requests, but we at least have a view. We added competences that, besides like data engineers, data warehouse developers, etc., we've had people excellent in change management, in having trainings. We have brought in external parties to showcase what can actually be done. If we take the customer journey, for instance, we sell mobile subscriptions and without binding. And that's quite similar to what others are doing as well, like Spotify, for instance. So we could basically bring in people that have made it awesome from a customer perspective and talk about what can be done. And that has slowly sort of changed the mindset, and there are very different requests coming in right now and a different collaboration between IT people and business people today. So we work extremely tight together.
That's amazing. My approach is a little bit different, and I like to look with Henrix actually. So they went through setting up a kind of great center of excellence, you know, centralized approach for providing insights and data supports for all their stakeholders. And here we just change a little bit. And of course, our recipe is suitable for us, you know, because of our maturity level, our people, the people that I'm working with. But, you know, here I'm, again, you know, just like Henrik, focusing on the technology part of that and how we can enable the others, you know, other stakeholders. You know, I'm driving the data mesh in my domain, you know, for subdomains that each has 3 to 5 different teams who are my stakeholders, and my responsibility is to enable them. A couple of practical steps that I have done, you know, and I'm doing it now these days as well, just to nudge the data culture with those teams. You know, for example, we had a kind of centralized and too high code data platforms That I would say it's a killer of the innovation. You know, self-serve platform is needed. You know, anyone should be able to get onboarded and work with the data. Why? Because to increase the pace of tangible value delivery, you know, and decrease the time to value, you know, and data platform should be suitable for, I would say, both clickers and coders. By clicker, I mean, you know, the product people, you know. It's a very wise approach that Henrik took to bring the subject matter experts within the center of excellence, you know, just to get to know the whole business and help them to grow. You know, here we are just trying just to push things to the people, to my stakeholders, you know, as the clickers, and enable them to do things, or let's say large wage data analysis themselves, you know, rather than, you know, creating a kind of dependency to my team. Because I don't want to hold things in my data platform. And previously, you know, it was something like that for us. Anyone who wanted to build something, they had to reach out to us, you know, and we had a very long backlog, for example, and we couldn't do much because we were always under pressure. And it was, we felt that, okay, it's not kind of sustainable and we need to do something. So, and there were a lot of other reasons, you know, stakeholders didn't have any idea about the data. They didn't have any idea about, okay, what kind of service data, you know, is available so they could actually really innovate on top of the data set. You know, they didn't know what kind of data exists or no. And, okay, what is the data quality, data lineage, you know, and where it's generated and where it's going to be ended up, you know. And, for example, we want keeping things out of the product or business teams, for me means, okay, lower tendency for collaboration, you know, and much more communication. This is what I experimented and I experienced, you know. Imagine in a session that contains lots of PMs, product managers, brainstorming about new metrics, and someone asks, okay, what is the data for this sort of, you know, sensors data activity, or what is the data for this sort of metric? And imagine that they could simply open the laptops, discover and slice and dice the data themselves, rather than, you know, reaching out to the data center, centralized data team, which was us, you know, opening a ticket, you know, asking a data insights request, you know, and so on and so forth. And to add more on this topic, it's very good to find the golden path if you want to create value, you know, as the leader of a data team. It's good to find the golden path for each data persona and help them to grow, you know. This is what I think Henrik also did in the Center of Excellence. Who needs what and how I can make it automated, or let's say democratize the capabilities to the personas, you know, in a way that they can at least realize some of their requests themselves, you know. That's went quite good. For example, we are about to introduce a kind of abstraction layer on top of our data platform that enables my stakeholders to use LLM to write queries, explore insights, you know, text to visualization, text to SQL queries, for example, for creating lightweight data products or lightweight pipelines, or slicing and dicing the data, you know. This was quite good, to be honest, and we have progress around that, and we're just trying to democratize everything to them and sit as a kind of business partner with them, you know, and helping them just to focus on a kind of heavy wage data products and the most impactful things. This is a little bit approach, a different approach that we are trying to have in place. And we got some good signals from our stakeholders, and they're very data thirsty these days, you know, and because we say that every product manager should be an AI product manager, especially in the digital experience area where you're responsible for delivering value through the digital services.
And we are taking a little bit different approach. We are working on a more use case driven approach and to really ensure that we have cross-functional teams working with a use case that is tied to some sort of value or cost saving. So we're trying to really ensure that what we're prioritizing and what we're working on is really delivering value back to the organization. And there are some benefits and some drawbacks of that, because the benefit is, of course, that, yes, it's very easy to showcase that what we do is really bringing value back. The difficulty is that if you have some more heavy lifting or if you want to establish some sort of platform capabilities, these needs to be either tied into, or you need to find an additional ways of driving those initiatives as well. So there is always a back and forth with everything. But one other thing that I would like to add also is that one thing that we've been working quite heavily with is to incorporate data governance into these parts as well, so that when we do work with any of these initiatives or use cases, we ensure to bring in data governance with that as well. So in order for us to leverage or strengthen the data quality aspect of the data and work with the documentation and the definition of the data and all of that, in order for us to, because it's easier to do that when we are working with a use case or a strategic initiative, rather than going back to organization and say, hey, now you need to do data governance on top of everything else that you do. That's never going to work. And so that's also been a very positive thing in our organization.
I can add another thing that we actually did very successfully last year. We arranged a hackathon, and I think we called it Data Innovation Hackathon, and sent out, we did some preparations, not anything massive, and sent out the invitation to our stakeholders. We were a fairly huge organization, but I think we landed with that 70, maybe 80% of the resources were working outside our organization or my team. And there were so much creativeness and great ideas. And we spent only 24 hours on this and then awesome presentations. And some of these initiatives that just started at best, as some kind of proof of concept, actually landed in our roadmaps later on, and we are now delivering on those. But it's been it was really good for non-tech people to understand what could be done to align with data scientists or AI DevOps person or data engineer, very inspiring, actually.
Yeah, quite impressive. We previously had a kind of hackathon. It wasn't kind of data-focused hackathon, but it was mostly about the digital experience development in our connected app. It went quite successful. And just if I want to add, we had something not like a hackathon, but similar. We just try to lead by examples. You know, when you develop something on your MVP and you just try to democratize it and prove the value, it went quite successful because sometimes, you know, the stakeholders do not have any idea what's happening out there, you know, in the data and AI ecosystem and how the industry actually moves forward. And it gave them great insights, you know. And we got, for example, in a couple of cases, I got some developers in my previous organization. I got money from the different stakeholders just to recruit more, you know, and just carry on with their projects. And it's a very good example. And I really like, let's say, hackathons or data tones. That's quite a great recipe, you know, for the organization who would like just to get something out of their data.
I can mention a ton of other examples as well. Both our executive leadership team and our board are currently obviously super interested in AI. So we have basically a standing session on our strategy days talking about AI. And you might think that executives know everything and they just want to see a roadmap and when value are delivered and how much. But we've actually balanced this with some good examples of training, explaining LLMs, for instance. I mean, the only thing they read is about the buzzwords and all the promises in the business news. And we've basically managed to take it down and explain what it is how we should build it, what to use and for what. And since that has been like an ongoing thing in the past, I would say maybe 1.5 years, they are understanding data from like a high level perspective a lot better nowadays, which means that the conversations are easier. We also get better support. They can be a bit more pushy in their own organizations, which means that we are also being asked to do the right things, not necessarily only what people have in top of mind. So a lot of training, I would say, is also a good recipe. And Mohamed, you mentioned in the beginning also about an open data platforms. We decided to go for an open data platform, or we decided to go for an open approach. We wanted to have a platform where all types of use cases could be delivered, AI as well, even if we didn't do any AI at that time. And we have skilled people in various parts of our organization. And I think there are today at least more than 100 that are free to develop on their own in our platform. Governance is, of course, a challenge, but not impossible at all. Mm-hmm. And I think we're managing that quite well. It can be better. But where we were back then, for us, it was more important to get the data out and get as many users as possible, no matter if they were building reports on their own in our BI tool, or if they were actually running and writing in their own SQL directly in the database. And that means that we got more than 100 people also talking about data, so we don't become a bottleneck, basically.
That is amazing. Just to add on top of that, I have some similar plans, you know, at least on paper. I haven't realized that yet. It's still in the roadmap, you know. I would like just to move my data engineers around, you know, the whole digital experience areas teams, you know, or my stakeholders, you know. I have a couple of data engineers, so it has some benefits for me, you know, eradicating the bottlenecks to the central team, and I'm also actually keep the data engineers involved and engaged, because every quarter they are in different projects, you know, and they are super happy. They get to know the business side as well, not only coding, you know, some Spark codes that they do not know what that is, you know, some business logic. So that's quite interesting, and the prerequisite is having a kind of open platform. Just move the data engineers around and try to be a mentor and move yourself to a coaching you know, position, you know, because the mentors can go hand in hand with the tech people who are sitting outside of the data team, you know, and they can co-build. And majority of the time, you know, most of the data sets are being used majority of the times, you know, and they will learn after a couple of iterations, so they can actually go hand in hand. And at some point, you will be a kind of huge, you know, and empowered coach in data and AI within your organization that you enable everyone. And that, I think that works perfectly.
Nice. I think we have touched on this final question a little bit, but I think it leads it quite nicely onto Henrik's question, which is, can data teams actually provide value on their own, or are there any types of collaboration needed with other teams to gain the full value? So Henrik, if you'd like to give a bit of background, and we'll let everybody jump in.
Yeah, and very much this is based on my experience the past maybe 5-10 years or so in this domain. And as I said previously, it could be easy from an executive to just look into the fact and the organization and say that, hey, I have a data team, I'm covered, or I have an AI team, so everything is nice and shiny. But everything comes back to sort of the execution and the deliveries of value. It is not that easy, I would say. And value is being created when data is being used. And of course, if we talk about reports, that's one type of challenge that might not need full engagement from the end user. We just touched upon this, but I practiced for quite many years that if someone needs a report, they don't need to write any specification of that report. What we do is rather set that person together with a developer, and they as you said previously here, they actually develop that together. Because it's quite difficult, and I would say tough requirements on someone in need of data to actually come up with a full idea on their own how to visualize or what data to look at, because they don't know what can be done. I mean, most tools today, they are awesome. And the best way to show that is actually when they are developing things. We have also been asked to support the customer journey with data. I'll give you one example. We are calculating the next best action or offer for all our customers. And in order for that to actually gain value for the company, it needs to be in the hands of the ones having the conversation with the customer. And of course, as we also try to be more digitalized, we want the customers to do everything on their own online. That means that MBA needs to be embedded in the online journey as well, which means that you need to have like other types of developers, IT teams, online teams on board. Another example, we run quite many networks, so different versions of mobile networks and also broadband networks, and it's a massive effort to actually operate these ones, and we might not be the experts on, let's say, mobile network data, which is streaming in massive amounts every second, and we need to work together to actually solve what is the problem. And the problem might be financial in the end, which means that we may be running our networks with a too high degree of manual interference to keep them up and running, or we might be in need of too many field service engineers. If you are a field service engineer arriving at a site that has been sort of labeled as down or having performance problems, we need to be able to actually deliver the data that they need to do their work. They need to understand before they go that they should bring a new switch or some new cables or whatever it might be. You can imagine the north of Sweden, remote areas, but we're still having towers everywhere. And it might be a field engineer having to go 300 kilometers to fix something. And it's quite bad if they don't bring the right stuff. So it's a lot of things that we need to provide them with and things that we can actually measure and understand based on the data. So going back to my question, I think it's... some values can be delivered with limited collaboration, and I'm pretty sure though that the larger values and the values that the executives look for, they need a lot of collaboration. They need the business understanding, for instance, and the true business challenges. The challenges is not that sales is not picking up, for instance. The challenge is something else. There's another root cause. Why are we not selling according to the budget? Is it due to competitors having better prices? What can we do with prices? Have we done any calculations on price elasticity, for instance? Or do we need to think about adding data and AI to product development? So it's constant need for collaboration between teams. And I really want to stress the need for having executives on board in these kind of conversations, because it's a change. And it's difficult to change people if they are measured on something else. So everyone needs to run in the same direction in various ways, but it doesn't work if half of the company is running in one direction and would like to carry on sales in a more traditional way, while the other part of the company is thinking about having all sales happening online, for instance. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I really think that it's a very excellent question, and I really agree with you that the one of the key areas here is to align the strategy, is to align the strategy between different departments or teams to ensure that what we are driving for is a common goal, and that is under built or is done through enabling the data drivenness or the customer-centric part. Because I also think that the value comes from collaboration. It comes from embedding data or analytical solutions or however you want to frame it into various parts of the organization. You mentioned NBU and NBA. We're also working on similar things on our side as well. So I agree that to really embed the analytical part into your either sales processes or your in our part, our credit processes or our insurance processes. That's really how to leverage, how we can leverage collaboration, but also leverage the value of data. But that also brings one other aspect of it, and that's to treat data as an asset. Because in order for us to ensure that we can embed different analytical solutions or machine learning or AI solutions into other processes, we need to ensure that the data is being treated as an asset. Because it's only if the current departments or the current processes are managing data in a correct way, that keeping to the process, ensuring that the documentation is up to date and that everything is done according to how the process should be run, then we can add machine learning or AI into the process. If a process is not done as it should be, then we will not have the sufficient data to train the models on, and we will not be able to improve. So I think it's really important that we collaborate together with the different departments and also and agree on a common goal where we are, what we are striving for and what we are aiming for, because that's it's much easier to succeed in that way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Interesting question, Henrik, by the way. You know, some organizations usually keep the data teams confined, let's say, you know, and say, okay, you do whatever you want. And there are some other organizations that, okay, they actually set up a data team and say, okay, you are the driver. You need to ship great products in the market. So, it's not, as you mentioned, it's not a zero and one, you know, it's just a kind of sweet spot between those. I would say, you know, the innovation around the data neither should come from up level, you know, of the organization, nor bottom of it. You know, I see it's a kind of sweet spot from a bottom-up approach in value creation versus a top-down in startups and small companies. We have a bottom-up approach. Data teams tend to drive, you know, the whole data initiatives, and then large scale or enterprises, you know, they have a top-down approach and push the initiatives to the data teams for the implementation. And neither of those, you know, really work, you know, based on everyone's experience. You know, the ideal approach just lies in finding a kind of, you know, balance between bottom-up and top-down approach. I would say, you know, the data culture should be kind of fertile enough to let the both sides drive initiatives, you know, from the executives and the stakeholders and even the data teams, you know. It's very important, you know, for the center of excellence or the other data project teams or data teams, you know, just drive something. That's their motivation as well, you know, especially in large scale organizations. That is because data teams are the ones who sit next to the data, and for sure they have a better visibility on top of all aspects of their data ecosystem. They are the ones who are updated with the latest trends and the products that are in the industry, you know. They're exposed in data conferences and other, let's say, materials, you know. It means that they are the one who knows the latest data trends before anyone in the company, you know. So it's good to work on the process and make it, or let's say, a kind of collaboration or way of work or operating model to make the data teams involved in various aspects of the decision making, along with the support of the stakeholders. And that is for sure needed, you know. I have an example wearing my product manager hat, you know. We had some issues, and I just tried to convince the leadership, you know, just to consider us as a business partner, someone who can they trust, you know, and build something with the help of us, you know, rather than a kind of service provider, you know, just sit here and just shoot too many, you know, data insights requests. I just try to reduce the distance to data, you know, by more surfacing the data, you know, enhancing our data platform capabilities to be self-serve, you know, and enablement of all product and coders, you know. One important action was, okay, acting as a subject matter expert, you know, in business meetings and coaching and helping them to craft data products, you know. So as a result, we had a better, we managed to have a better data culture, you know. I used to sit in the product discovery sessions, in group metrics discussions, for example, and product-led growth framework meetings, you know, and coach the teams for their data-driven features, as an example. So I'm talking about our own, let's say, kind of data products here. And for example, when it comes to the product and metrics development, we have to consider, for example, if you have a product mindset, we say, okay, viability, feasibility, and usability of the initiative is very important. And our team became a trusted partner over time to discuss the feasibility section of the product development. Like, okay, do we have the right data? Do we have the right infrastructure? Does the data even exist, you know? So we were just trying to collaborate and nudge people to craft better product and data initiatives with proper collaboration, of course, you know, getting the buyer confirmation and green light from the executives, you know, and leadership team, just to embed ourselves within the whole processes of the product development, you know, and sit between all the cross-functional teams rather than being a service provider. So this sort of collaboration really helped the other teams to make an informed decision about the request, you know, rather spending a lot of time crafting a data initiative, you know, after maybe a couple of months or a couple of weeks, then coming to us for the implementation, then we say, okay, it's not feasible. You know, we were sitting at the earliest stage, you know, so the sheer amount of time really saved for all of us. So it's quite, I would say, as all of us mentioned, to embed in the business processes, you know, we should drive and they should drive, you know, it's a matter of collaboration and that's for sure needed.
I think that's a very interesting take on this, because it's easy to sort of set and think of data as something isolated, but that the problem is then you don't get it embedded into the processes. And to be early on this is absolutely critical, I would say.
And also upon that, really creating a culture where we treat data as an asset, because I've been in a lot of organizations where data has been viewed as an output, where we say, yes, I've now completed my process. This is the output of the process in some sort of data. And then the data is useless because you can't really use that in an analytical perspective, or you can't use it in embedding anything else. So if you don't have a data as an asset mindset, then I think it's a real risk of missing out a lot of potential, you know, from the value, from bringing value from data.
Mm. I totally agree. We have examples, as I mentioned, I mean, running networks, that's really about being in control of the software in the networks. But the data that is being, it's not even natural to everyone to make sure that data is being shared with someone else, that data is actually coming out of these systems. And if it is, it might be that we have a focus on, let's say, cells and towers and that type of, or an easier example, call data. So who you are calling to and your phone number, where you are, the quality of the call. That data in itself is super interesting. But if it's combined with something else that the same team might not have, then you talk about really massive, interesting values that can actually be created, and that means that that's why you also need to have like a central platform that can gather it all and combine it. It doesn't come natural everywhere to treat data as an asset, and it might also be if it's being treated as an asset, it can be just a subset of data. While the true value is when you're combining maybe 10 different sources. What about adding the traditional CRM data and payment data with travel patterns in our case? Extremely interesting. Where do we have the most valuable customers in terms of our cost of running the networks? Probably a lot more beneficial customers in the larger regions or the dense regions compared to others. But it's questions that can never be answered and decisions that can never be made if data is not really treated as an asset.
Yeah, this is quite interesting. You know, I think this is a time for all of us who are working in the data ecosystem and responsible for the kind of development of a data platform, just to rethink about how we treat data, you know. So because as we have all understood, you know, and experienced, you know, there are so many data sets and silos around the organization, but no one actually talk about how we can have a proper data model. Okay, if you onboard the data into the data platform, okay, and you'll never have an opportunity just to join it with other data sources, you know, just to create a better value for the stakeholders, you know, and provide a better opportunity, okay, while you're actually onboarding, you know. And that means that our data as an asset should be, we have a good data sets out there, but all of those needs to follow a kind of principle. They should be understandable, trustworthy, accessible, interoperable, valuable, and secure, you know, and all these things need to be considered when we are actually doing a data onboarding, you know. And for example, nowadays, you know, because we have different sets of data sets, we have app data sets, so consumers interaction, we have the smart home appliances data sets, we have the HAI home integration, home ecosystem integration, Alexa and Google, you know, and we have task and schedule data sets. So, and previously we just tried to onboard everything, and at one point we just stopped everything and say, okay, now we need to think about a global and unified data model about our consumers, how we can have a multi-channel consumer analytics across all touch points, even the Google and Alexa, which are not in our ecosystem. And we just spend not a lot of time, but we just spend some time and found, okay, there is a way, you know, there is a way just to rethink about our data sets and make them in a way that it can be joined in a very good way together and provide a value to the end users. And we promote it, you know, to everyone that, okay, this is available. And if you'd like to develop some things, we are ready, you know, and we just try to bring some MVPs as well for them.
I think you touch a bit upon our responsibility. Most of us are in between technology and business. And I think we have a huge responsibility really to bridge the gap between data engineers and business people. And that's a massive work to do. But if we are successful, then our organizations and companies are actually going to be successful in the end as well.
Yeah, definitely. We need to speak tech to tech and business to business. This is the key point for us, all of us.
Definitely. Well, no, I think that was a really good discussion from everybody there. Before we end the podcast, I'd like to say thank you so much to all of our guests for sharing their thoughts in today's conversation. If you are hiring for a new technical role or looking for new roles, feel free to get in touch with us here at Evolution. Or if you or anyone you know would like to be featured on a future podcast, you can drop me a message too. I'm Charlotte Roberts, and you can find me on LinkedIn or email me at charlotte.roberts@evolution-nordics.com or visit us at evolutionjobs.com/SE. Thanks again to all our guests, and thank you for listening. We hope you can join us next time.